Good evening, everybody. Certainly good to see everyone back this evening as we continue to worship our Creator on the first day of the week. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start with some verses there. I asked Brother Code to lead that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And that's what I want us to talk about this evening is hope. And I want us to consider a living hope. You know, there is nothing worse than having no hope in life. But let's start in Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verses 12 and 13. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Again, there's nothing worse than having no hope. Proverbs 11:7 says, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. They have no hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. If you see someone that has no hope, they're just really down all the time. They have no joy in their life. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope strengthens us. It gives us energy. It invigorates us to do what we must do here. Christianity is a religion of hope. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So we see that if we only have hope of Christ in this life, we are miserable. If this life is it, what is there to look forward to? But that is not the case. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So we have hope. As Christians, we have hope. Well, what is hope? Hope is a confident expectancy, where you confidently expect something. It's so easy to see that in a child. They may have a birthday coming up or some special event, and you mention that to them. They just get so excited. They're hopeful. They're looking forward to this or that. And that's the way we should be as Christians. But hope is confident expectancy. And in the Bible, hope stands for two things, the act of hoping and the thing that we are hoping for. We talked about the Christian as a farmer this morning. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. Why does the farmer go out and plow his ground? He does it in hope. He has that confident expectancy that he's going to get a crop. He threshes in hope. He wants to be a partaker of his hope. So that is the act of hoping. Then we look at the thing hoped for. Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. So when we think about the thing hoped for, if we think of heaven, we should confidently expect that. And just like that little child, that should give us great joy that we have that to look forward to. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is living. we sing the song, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We have a living hope. If it's living, what is that in contrast to? That's in contrast to a dead hope, where people do not have any confident, good expectancy of something good. Well, where does hope come from? How do we get it? Does it come from within ourselves that I wish I have hope and then I have hope? No, we don't get it that way. Our hope does not arrive from our own desires, but from God. God himself is the believer's hope. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 39:7? My hope is in, you know the answer, you. My hope is in you. My hope isn't in myself. My hope isn't in you folks. And don't take that personally, but as humans, we let each other down. We put our hope in God. My hope is in you. Genuine hope is not wishful thinking, but it's a firm assurance about things that are unseen and in the future. We haven't seen heaven, and it's not here now, it's in the future, but we can have a confident expectancy of that. We can have that firm in our lives. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly await for it with perseverance. There may be some things that today I'm hoping will happen tomorrow. They haven't happened yet. That's hope. That's hope. If it's happened, then it's a reality. But those things that I may be hoping for tomorrow that haven't happened, I have to keep waiting with perseverance. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 1 and verse 7. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We drop down to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So with faith, it is something that is necessary. It's the substance of things hoped for. And we'll come back to that here in a minute and look at that a little bit more. But with this too, with this hope, hope is one of the things that separates us from everybody else in the world. We should stand out as Christians in the world because we have hope. The unbeliever has no hope. In Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, people that go through life, they don't have the hope of a Christian. Are they happy? Not really. They will want you to think that they are happy, but they are pursuing pleasure, they are pursuing happiness in all the wrong things. And that pursuit is going to give them temporary happiness, temporary pleasure. Because after time, those things are not going to fulfill them anymore. The only thing that can fulfill us is a relationship with Christ and God. You can talk to people that have come out of an ungodly lifestyle, that were chasing after this and after that, and they come to the realization there's no fulfillment there. It's pleasurable while they're doing it, but there's no lasting pleasure. This hope that we have distinguishes us from all those other people out there in the world. So if that distinguishes us, that hope should reside in us as a Christian. It should be within us. Again, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So this verse brings up a couple things. First, quite a few things. We are to sanctify the Lord God, means set him apart for a special purpose. And where do we do that? We do that in our hearts. If we do that in our hearts, we'll take care of it in our bodies, in our life. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Why would people want to come up and ask me for a reason of the hope that's in me? Why would they want to do that? They would have to see the hope in me. If they don't see the hope in us, they aren't going to ask us. So one of the implications is we must be so full of joy and hope that other people are going to see it in our lives and say, Bruce, why are you the way you are? Why don't these things get you down? And then I'm ready to give them an answer. There's a lot of problems in this world, but my hope isn't built on the things of this world. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. That's our hope. That is our hope. And with that hope residing in us, people should see that, and it should set us apart from everyone else. 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Did the people in the Old Testament have hope? They had hope. They had the hope of a coming Messiah. They had the hope of a Savior. But what does the writer of Hebrews tell us about that? In Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Even though they had a hope in the Old Testament, we have a better hope. The hope that we have today, we know that Christ has come. We know that he died for our sins. We have the complete revelation. We have a better hope than they had under the old covenant. So we have this hope in us, this living hope, this better hope. We said it doesn't come from within us, it comes from God. But a little more specifically, where does it come from? God? Well, how do we get this hope? Well, it comes in one way by his calling us. He calls us to him, and that gives us hope. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we think of God, do we think of him as the God of hope? Or do we think of him as the God of punishment, the God of justice, or just the God of love? But he's described here as a God of hope. He gives us hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. How does that happen? That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is this some miraculous occurrence that happens to us and the Holy Spirit comes down and fills us and we're full of hope? No. Some people think that's the way it happens. We are filled with all joy and peace and believing by the power of the Holy Spirit through his word. The Holy Spirit came and revealed his word to us. As we take his word and make it part of us, the God of hope is going to fill us with all joy and peace. So again, I have to ask myself, if I'm feeling down in life, if I feel like I'm in a hopeless situation. How much of God's word am I filling myself? How much of the God of hope, His word, am I letting the Holy Spirit put into me by reading His word? That's one of the ways that we get our hope where it comes from. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in all the saints. Again, we have this hope of our calling. Can we understand it? Can we appreciate it? Paul's prayer here is that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that we may know what it is, this hope. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? It's not something that is unattainable. We can know it. We can have it. Paul had it. You see, other characters throughout the Bible had this hope. They understood what it was. We can understand what it is today also. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Again, back to there's one hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God and Father, who has loved us and has given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. So here we see another way that we get hope, is by grace. So our hope comes from God. It comes by His calling. It comes by His grace. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Okay? So we see that we get hope from God, from His calling us, from His grace, and from His Word. From the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And a little bit more specifically, what is the comfort of that Word, the comfort of the Scriptures? Colossians 1:23, indeed, if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So our hope comes from God, and He gives it to us in so many different ways. Since God gives us our hope, we should direct our hope back toward God and Christ. In Acts 24:15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. When we say our prayers, when we ask for things, do we have hope in God that He's going to answer us? I hope we all say yes. We don't know how He's going to answer us, but we should all have that hope, that confident expectancy. If I have that relationship with God and I go to my Father in prayer, I have hope in God. I have hope in God. I can say that just like Paul said. It comes from God and we redirect it back to Him. 1 Peter 1:21, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Again, that's where we put our faith, our hope, our confidence is in God. We don't put it in things of the world. You can put your faith and hope and trust in a big education, And I've got nothing against a big education. I wish I could keep getting more, but you can put it in an education, and whatever you learn might become outdated in a couple of years. What good's it going to do you? You can put your faith and hope and trust in a company, and what are they going to do? Are they going to take care of you till you die? No. They might say, we're closing by the end of the year. See you later. We could put our faith, our confidence, our trust in any of these other things, and they're going to let us down. God will never let us down. We need to direct our hope back toward God and Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. When I was going through putting the sermon together and looking for passages on hope, I was surprised how many passages there are and how many passages refers to all aspects of our salvation and God and Jesus and our everyday life. And again, our life should be full of hope. So to look at that a little bit differently, what are some of the objects of hope? Well, one is we hope for eternal life. Titus 1:2, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus 3:7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Just like back to when I began talking about a little child having a hope of a birthday party. They look forward to that. They get excited about that. One of the objects of our hope should be eternal life. We should get excited about that. We should look forward to that. Another object of our hope is salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation, righteousness. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We hope for salvation. We have salvation from our past sins when we were baptized. Now we hope, we patiently wait, we long for that salvation when we can reign with Christ in heaven. We should hope for the glory of God. In Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Colossians 1:27 talks about that also, the glory of God. Again, scripture after scripture talking about the objects of hope. Another one is the appearing of Christ. We should hope for that. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should hope for that. We should look forward to that. Are we doing that this week? Are we doing that? Or are we so busy thinking about everything else, it doesn't even enter our mind? We're just so caught up. We're on the treadmill, going through life. We don't even have time to think about that. Looking for the blessed hope. We see it's a living hope, a better hope, a blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That should be one of the objects of our hope. Not that I hope I get a raise, I hope I get more money, I hope I get a new house, I hope I get a bigger car, a newer car. We should hope, looking for the blessed hope of the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should hope for the resurrection from the dead. We looked at that briefly in 1 Corinthians 15, in Acts 23, Paul was talking about concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. You go on a few chapters to Acts 26, and as Paul is talking before King Agrippa, he says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise God made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain for this hope's sake. King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. What was Paul's hope that he was talking about? The coming of Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. He was being judged for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that that brought with it. Back in Acts 23, he used that as a means to diffuse the crowd when the Sadducees and Pharisees were arguing with him. And he said, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. So what did that do? That pitted the Pharisees against the Sadducees. And he, as you go on through Acts, that is why he was being judged, as he told King Agrippa at that time. Well, what does hope do? Besides make us full of joy and give us peace, hope is an anchor of the soul. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and beginning at verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So hope is the anchor of the soul. What does an anchor do? It grounds us. It keeps us from drifting. If we aren't grounded in the faith, we're going to drift. We're going to be tossed to and fro and back and forth. Hope is the anchor of the soul. When things come along that aren't good, you know, again, just thinking back of some of the other things that people put their hope in. Some people put their hope and trust in the stock market. And there's nothing wrong to have money in the stock market. But if you put your hope and trust in the stock market and it's way up here, and your hope and trust and faith is way up here, and the stock market's down here, what's going to happen? You're going to lose all hope. It's going to be, you know, back during the Depression, people were jumping out windows, committing suicide. They had no hope. Again, they put their hope in the wrong thing. I don't know if this is true or not, and I'm not saying it in a light way, but I heard someone say they don't have windows there at the stock market up high anymore. You know, people, and it's people put their trust in everything except God. And it's sad. It's sad. Hope is the anchor of the soul. When we're going through these storms of life, as we sing the song, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?" All these storms, and we're going to go through them. What's going to get us through them? The anchor of our soul, and that's hope. That's that confident expectancy. That's that confident looking forward to something in the future. That's going to get us through anything here in this life. And I said we would come back to Hebrews 11 when we were talking about Noah and his faith. So how does faith fit in with hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the foundation for our hope. Faith is the foundation for our hope. If we want to have a strong hope, we need a strong foundation. How do we have a strong foundation? We have faith. How do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's so simple and plain, but what do people do? They want to do everything except what the Bible says. They want to chase after this, they want to chase after that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is the anchor of the soul. They just fit together. They fit together, and they should fit together and be part of our life. You know, the Jews in the first century had hope, but it was not in the right thing. What were they hoping for? They were hoping for an earthly king to come in and set up an earthly kingdom and deliver the Jews from Roman oppression. They were looking for the wrong thing. All the prophecies were about this coming king, this Messiah, this Savior that would deliver them, but it was talking about a spiritual kingdom. Again, there are so many people today that even in the religious world, they'll say, well, I've got hope. And they rattle off all of these. I don't know the best thing to call them other than these little denominational cliches or words that you hear people using. And it's sad again because Satan has confused them. He's deceived them for them to think that they are right. Is there a Jewish hope? Is there a Catholic hope? Is there a Protestant hope? In Ephesians, we read about one hope. There's only one hope, and we can only have that hope in Christ. People in these other religions think that they have hope, but friends, you can't have hope unless you are in Christ. Again, we all have family, friends that are in other religions, and they'll talk sometimes boasting about the hope that they have in going to heaven. But if you aren't in Christ, you do not have hope. And finally, one other thing, what does this hope do? Again, back to 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do people see that hope in you? Do they ask what is the reason that you have that hope? Is that hope dwelling within you? What does hope do for us? Hope gives us the ability to do what God wants us to do, and share that hope with everybody else. He doesn't want us to keep that hope to ourselves. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. We have this hope. We don't want to just keep it to ourselves. There are just so many songs that come to mind with this lesson. I love to tell the story. It's a beautiful song. I love to tell the story. We should be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Paul said in Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Friend, do you have hope today? Do you have a living hope? Do you have a better hope? Do you have a blessed hope? Do you have a hope that is the anchor of your soul to get you through anything in this life? And is that foundation of faith so strong, that hope is so strong that you can't keep it into yourself, but you just got to tell somebody else? Let me tell you, this is what I was like before I became a Christian. I still have a lot of problems in life, but my hope, I have peace of mind. I have a reward to look forward to, and that hope is going to get me through anything that comes along here in this life. And friends, if you do not have that hope, as I said at the beginning, people without hope, that's one of the saddest things in life. But again, if that's your condition, you don't have to stay that way. You can become a Christian. You can live a Christian life. You can have that hope that all of us that are Christians are, as we all persevere and work on our way toward heaven. If there's anybody here this evening that wants to respond to the gospel invitation, don't put it off. We ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
Have thine own.